Are you ready to talk Padres spring training baseball?
We've got you covered.
It's the beginning of a new season with new hope and a new host here on Padres Social Hour. Our new ace is Mike Ginella, and today he's joined by Corey Brock as they broadcast from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona for this spring training edition of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome to the first Padres Social Hour of the 2016 season. We're coming to you here from another beautiful day in Peoria, Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex. I am, I guess, the new ace, Mike Ginella. Thank you, Pete. If so, my battery mate today is Corey Brock, 10th season covering the Padres for MLB.com, right?
Yeah, hey, we make a pretty good combo, I guess.
I think so, yeah, kicking off the season. Well, yeah. We'll see how it goes, but now I think we're in good shape.
Sounds good early, but yeah.
How's your spring training so far, Corey?
It's gone really well. You know, it's funny, like, you come out here as much as I have, and again, this is my 10th year. 2007 was my first year. It's kind of like Groundhog Day in some way, shape, or form, but, you know, it's kind of a different camp. It's got a different feel to it. I think there's a lot of excitement here. And I think, like anyone else, I'm just kind of curious to see how this all works out.
This is the first camp for Andy Green. So you mentioned some differences, how things are a bit different from the Buddy Black regime. What are some of those differences you've noticed early on?
They're not always differences you can see. Some you can actually hear. As you noticed, Mike, there's some music being pumped around different parts of the camp here. It's kind of a lively, upbeat environment, I guess. It was the same with Buddy, and I'm not trying to set up any kind of contrast here, but it's this is Andy's first camp, and for me, as someone who's covered the game for a while, I'm always curious to see how a first year manager sort of assimilates himself into a new environment and with new players. And I wrote a story a while back about how Andy flew to six different states to see some players and start building relationships. So it's just always curious for me to see how a new guy goes about the job.
All that's going on with the team and the music is the most popular thing for everyone to talk about. You enjoying the playlist? I like it. It's cool. I think it's – I don't know what it was like here last year in silence, but there's speakers on the fields, in the hallways, in the complex. You pro jams or anti?
Yeah, I'm going to go thumbs up on the jams. I have a kind of eclectic music taste. Being as old as I am, I like some classic rock, although I do like some indie stuff. The mix is pretty good. Some stuff is okay, but other stuff kind of resonates a little bit deeper, I guess.
I think there's 62 guys in uniform that they care more about pleasing than you and me with the music. But coming into this year, what were your expectations for the team before you saw some of these guys in person after all the acquisitions were made?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it was really curious for me to see how they went through this off season with some of the additions they made, subtractions. Certainly added some very interesting pieces on the minor league side in the return for the Craig Kimbrell deal, the Joaquin Benoit deal. Gave yourself some assets to work with that can maybe help the Padres in the future, or maybe become players they move to get other players. So it's going to be a little bit different team. The buzz is a little different. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just different. And I think I think there's some guys here with kind of some chips on their shoulders, Mike. I think there's some guys that probably have a lot to prove. Will Myers hasn't had a full, healthy major league season since 2013. I think he's excited. I think the team wants to see him get 600 at-bats and what he could do with that. For me, that guy's a key. There's some young arms in the bullpen that are eager to win jobs. I always have been a staunch proponent that competition really brings out the best in guys.
For me, this is a team chock full of potential best case scenarios that I think, if the dominoes all fall the right way, this is a team that could really surprise. I think a wild card slot is definitely in play. NL West maybe shooting for the stars, but you talk Will Myers, if he comes back and stays healthy, that's a good bat that you can have over the production he had last year. Melvin Upton Jr. was playing great toward the end there, and he gets a full camp, which he didn't have with this team last year, injury-free too. Matt Kemp, his second half was incredible. Alexi Ramirez can improve that defense up at shortstop. What are you thinking is best-case scenario for this team?
They're going to have to get off to a good start. That's something the Padres have never really done since I've been covering this team. And I think it's important not to get buried early on.
Biggest strength this team has from what you've seen so far?
Oh, you know, I think they're going to be much better defensively than they were last year. That was something that showed up in a negative sense last year in terms of a lot of unearned runs for some pitchers, and I think it changed the way some pitchers approached other hitters, just in terms of balls in play and being a little wary on what happened when a ball left someone's bat, if it was going to get fielded cleanly or caught cleanly. So I think the defense will be better. I think there's a speed component here that can help them. I like the first three pitchers that are going. Tyson Ross, you know, for me, he still seems like an underrated guy in the National League. I know everybody that follows the game knows about Tyson Ross, but I still think this guy is nowhere near his ceiling. James Shields, Andrew Cashner, I think that's a big key, having a bounce back year and what is his final year before free agency. So there are some strengths here. You have some veteran leadership. You have some guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and I think you have some guys whose game sets up well for Petco Park.
For me, that's far and away, I think, the biggest thing in this team's favor is those three guys at the top of the rotation. And nice plugs. We have Tyson Ross coming up later in the show, so we'll talk to him about that. But I think those three pitchers settle in well, and I think with Cashner, a good bounce back potential, that could be a very formidable rotation. And you look at what the Mets in the National League did last year, getting to the World Series, you know, a year or two ago, all they had was young power arms and a hope and a dream, and they make it up there. Is that a good blueprint for success for the Padres to follow?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if you don't have strong starting pitching, you're just not going to have any shot. It doesn't matter how many home runs you hit offensively, how many runs you scored. If you can't, I know this sounds terribly basic here, but, like, it's really critical. You know, there was a year here a few years ago, Mike, where, you know, you make all these best laid plans and you try and line things up, and then injuries happen early on in the season. I know the Padres were, you know, they're going out and scouring the waiver wire in April. You know, they got Jeff Suppan, Ross Ohlendorf was here for a few starts. But it just goes to show you that, boy, if you're scrambling for starting pitching, that's just not an easy road to hoe. And I think it's important for those three guys and then the two guys that follow them. And that's, it remains to be seen. I think Brandon Maurer and Colin Ray maybe have a good chance to fill out the rotation. But you need your horses to give you not only 200 innings, but to give you quality innings and quality starts and to keep the ball in the ballpark, which they had trouble doing last year.
A lot of concerns, fairly so, I think, on this team as well. The bullpen is a bit unsettled. The outfield positions outside of Matt Kemp still up for grabs. The four or five spots in the rotation, like you mentioned. What do you think's the biggest one? Because I think I know my answer.
You know, I'm going to go with the bullpen, Mike, and I just think because this has been a franchise, at least in my time here and even before then, success was really predicated on having a kind of a shutdown, lockdown bullpen. And, you know, we've seen it before. I mean, this is a franchise with a excellent lineage of back-end guys. I mean, you go back to Mark Davis winning a Cy Young, Trevor Hoffman, Heath Bell, guys of that nature, Craig Kimbrell, Houston Street. I think it's important to, not just to have a quality closer, but, you know, to have a dependable setup guy and then the guys that pitch before them. I mean, these innings are critical. 6, 7, 8, you know, are as equally as important in inning 9 in my book. I think those outs become very, very precious. And there's a lot of guys. I think something like 17 of the 32 pitchers in camp are new to the organization. So, you know, the old adage about a lot of people complain about spring training being too long. That's mostly the writers, I guess. But
we have Bernie Wilson coming up later in the show, too.
Yeah,
we'll
he'll
talk
tell
about
you all
that.
No, but I think they're really going to need 6 weeks to get this whole thing sorted out.
I disagree. To me, the bullpen is one of the, not the least concerning aspect of the team, because bullpens, we've seen time and again, can get remade pretty quickly, and you can find guys that, with a couple of tweaks here and there, can become pretty shut down. I think it's that left field spot, because there are a couple guys fighting for center and left. I think Melvin Upton Jr. will establish himself in center. But then in left, you're going to need someone like John Jay to step up. Jabari Blash, a lot of people, a Rule 5 guy, have put a lot of stock in him, yeah, or a couple other guys. And we'll talk about that later as well, because we have Jabari coming up on the show too. But for me, it's that left field spot, because it's also a big bat in the lineup, and this team's going to have to score some runs as well. Tyson Ross, we have him coming up soon. Quickly, how have you thought of him so far in camp from what you've seen?
He looks good. I mean, he's always very well prepared, and it's just been fun to watch his maturation process since he joined the organization. And, you know, he gives a lot of credit to Darren Balsley, the pitching coach. Josh Burns, the former general manager, got Tyson for a song, basically. And I think, it was time, a change of scenery helped Tyson out. But I think one of the biggest things is that Darren Balsley really worked with him on mechanics and in terms of getting him a little bit more upright, getting more extension, and just a lot of things, and kind of been a mentor in that regard. And I tell you what, that slider is devastating. And I think it's a tremendous pitch. I think you're going to see him get a lot of ground ball outs. And I think that nothing but big things ahead for Tyson Ross.
And we'll hear from him coming up next. We'll talk his European vacation in the offseason, that slider, and a lot more. Fans, spring training is here. Get tickets now for all Padres 2016 spring training games here in Arizona to catch all the preseason action. Tickets available at padres.com/spring. We're back after this.
We're back to Padres Social Hour, broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex at San Diego Padres Spring Training.
Tyson, opening day starter for the Padres. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
What's that do for you confidence-wise, finding that out so early in spring training?
It's great. I know exactly when I'm going to pitch, and I can use spring training to get ready for game one.
Now, pitchers, fans, media, everyone on the whole opening day starter thing, a little bit divided, I think. Some people think just another game, pitchers, I'm going to approach it no differently. Some people think it's a great honor, it's an achievement for what you've done in the past. Where do you kind of sit on that scale of what it means for you?
I'm definitely honored, but as far as it goes, it's just another game, you know. Hopefully I have 35 starts this season, and, it's just going to be another win.
It's a win. I mean, it's Dodgers game one. You're probably facing Clayton Kershaw. Do you look that far ahead when you're going through spring? Do you think about the other aces you're going to be matching up with all summer?
No, I don't really worry about that. You know, I've got a lot of work to do out here in spring training to get ready for the season and, just really trying to take it one day at a time.
We'll talk about what you're doing here in Peoria in a little bit. But first, the offseason, take us through that. Looks like you got a little more muscular. You've been putting in some time getting fit for the whole season. What was your offseason like? What'd you do?
I traveled a little bit at the beginning. I went over to Europe and spent about 2 weeks in Italy and Paris and, put on a little bit of weight. So I had to come back home and
you a
and
pasta
get to
guy,
work.
Croissants? What were you
having? Anything I'll get my hands on, unfortunately, yeah.
No, don't say unfortunately. That's fortunate, man. That's what you should be doing in Europe. All right, so you travel, you come back, and then what was the prep for the season like?
I was down in San Diego. I was working out at Petco. It was nice to have a couple guys in there in the off season, and Brett McCabe, our strength coach, and, just putting in work, 3-4 days a week at the stadium and just doing a lot of training.
So you get here. You get to Peoria. What are you working on? What are some things that were top of your list priority-wise to take care of once you got here?
Improve my fastball command and kind of work on my secondary pitches and mix in that changeup a little bit. There's a lot of new guys in camp, so I got to spend some time getting to know my new teammates and, form that bond before the season starts.
A lot of new faces, but some old ones too. James Shields, he had the opening day start last year. What's he been like for you as a mentor, as a peer, and what was his reaction once you got the nod for opening day this year?
Oh, he's been great. He's really excited for me. I've leaned on him a lot in the past, and I know he's got my back. So I'm looking forward to I get to start opening day. But as far as I see it, we've got a whole staff of aces. So it doesn't matter who we send out there, we're going to do a great job.
All right. So the command, the control, kind of your priorities this spring. How's it going so far? How do you feel? It's not too deep into spring training yet, but what are the early results like?
It's the first week out here, but I'm feeling good. Body's holding up strong. It's nice to work with the new catchers, and, it's great to just get out on the baseball field and run around a little bit.
Slider, that's your bread and butter. It's your hammer. Can you still improve on it, or how do you think you kind of harness that already and you're working on the other stuff more?
There's always room for improvement. It's my one of my strengths, and right now I'm just kind of trying to build up those weaknesses a little bit more. So I'm going to get the reps in with the slider and make sure it's where it needs to be when the season starts. But, in the next few weeks here, I got some other priorities.
You've improved. It's 3 straight years now. You've got your K percentages up, your ground ball percentages up. What are the biggest things in your way for making that 4 years in a row, improving some of those facets?
I think it's just improving on the little things, mixing in that changeup to keep hitters more up balanced, finding ways to limit the walks and really just put up more zeros.
Do you have any number goals for the season? 200 innings, 20 wins, 200 Ks? Do you think that way?
Not really. I'm more process oriented. I know if I come out put in all the work in between every fifth day and go out there and do my thing and starts, I'll look up at the end of the season and, you know, some of those numbers that you guys pay a lot of attention to will kind of be in the right area.
That sounds nice, though, you got to admit, right? Some round numbers like that?
Yeah, for sure.
Results, though, like process comes first. What's your routine like here? A lot of people back in San Diego see the highlights, and when games start, they see the games. But take us through the actual day from when you wake up to when you get back home. What's a day like in the life of Tyson Ross at spring training to start?
Out here we get up, I'm driving into work and get to see the sun rising, which is pretty cool. It's unusual for me. And, spend some time in the morning getting some breakfast, making sure my body's loose before a team meeting and team stretch, and, you know, go through the workouts out here on the field and then spend some time inside with the training staff, doing some rehab type exercises, get a little lift in, and then go home and hang out with my pup.
What kind of pup you got?
He's a pit bull.
Ah, nice. Yep. And what's a good Tyson Ross breakfast? Not like sausage McMuffins or anything like that.
No, we got a good chef down here who takes care of us, so it's nice. You know, get some scrambled eggs, some bacon, some oatmeal, things like that.
You've been in camp now. You're an elder statesman here, a lot of new faces, and you've been here a couple seasons. This is the first camp under Andy Green. What are some differences from previous Padres spring trainings to this year that you've noticed?
Green's done a great job. You know, things are running really efficiently out here in camp, but we're having a good time. He's added some music in, so we got a little bit of rhythm and tempo going into the day, and, it's been great thus far.
Yeah, it's speakers all throughout the complex and outside now, too, so while you guys are doing drills and your pens and everything, you hear the jams. What songs do you like? What don't you like? If we gave you the iPod to take over, what would we be hearing here?
Oh, man, I love it. It's better than nothing. You know, in the past, we've had to listen to the Mariners music over the fence over there. So, you know, anything they play, you know, I love the Latin music, the hip-hop, whatever.
All right, nice. Well, hopefully it's some good tunes here and then also some sweet music on the mound for you as the season continues. Tyson, thanks a lot, and good luck in 2016.
Hey, thank you very much.
Your San Diego Padres are in Arizona at the Peoria Sports Complex for spring training.
And so are we.
This is Padres Social Hour.
We're here with Hideo Nomo, his first season with the Padres, and AC Kurogi, the director of Pacific Rim Baseball Operations. How are you both?
Good, good. How are
thank you? Thank you for having us.
Good.
Thank you.
How do I say welcome to the Padres in Japanese?
Yokoso Padres.
Good? Hideo is here as a special advisor or an advisor for baseball operations. You're working with player development and also an AC is here to translate for us. Also with the Padres' presence in the Pacific Rim. But what exactly is Hideo? What are you doing in this new position so far?
He said, I came to the camp hoping to help the pitchers here. With my experience, maybe I can teach them a couple of things here.
So while you're here, what are you seeing so far? What have you been learning about the pitchers and what have you been teaching them?
He said, you know, I've been here since the first day. You know, during my days, that, you know, first day of camp was really slow paced, you know. But what I'm seeing here is that the pitchers are really ready. They're throwing good fastballs already. And, I think, you know, I'm almost wondering, what could I help them with? They're so established already.
Who have you liked seeing the most? Which Padres pitchers have excited you the most so far?
ウィニングピッチのない選手がいればどんどん教えていきたいなと思ってますけど。 He says right now, you know, the established major league pitchers, it seems like, you know, they know the pace of the spring training. They're working very, you know, at their own pace. But, you know, young pitchers who has good fastballs, maybe I can teach them, like, an out pitch, secondary pitch. So I'm hoping to work with them on, you know, various out pitch type of things.
You had a long, successful career. Are you teaching these guys anything about keeping a good career as well and just being a professional, or is it mostly the mechanics and specific pitching techniques?
今あの長いキャリアを野茂さんは言いましたけど、だから長いキャリアっていうことをどういうふうに保つのかっていうことを教えてるんですか、それともやっぱりもっとメカニックな話なことですか。そうですね、シーズン通してずっと入れないので、そのことをいうこともで
言うこともで言うチャンスがないかもわかんないですけど、でも、球種だったり、マウンドでメカニックだったり、まあ、マウンドに上がって、自分ピッチャーが自信持てるような、ものが与えれればなと思ってます。
Yes, yes, you know, since I'm not able to be with the pitchers throughout the season, that maybe I can work on.
We'll talk about that in a second, don't worry.
And not be able to teach them, you know, that type of thing, you know, as far as trying to condition throughout the season to have longevity and long career. But, you know, I'm hoping to teach them, you know, the type of pitch, maybe mechanics, a specific thing to get maybe a better performance, you know, so with, let's say, an out pitch or so.
And how has spring training been for you? Obviously fitting in with guys like Trevor Hoffman, a bunch of other coaches and advisors who are here that you played with and against. Do you feel like you're fitting in, like you're having fun? How's it been so far?
キャンプ、個人的には聞かせていただくと、トレバー・ホフマンとか、対戦したコーチ、一緒にやってたコーチとか、アドバイザーたちが来てるんですけど、今、すごく楽しい状況ですか、どういう状況ですか。そうですね、自分のこと知ってくれてるのもありがたいですし、また、
すごく受け入れてくれている感じがするので、まあ、すごく楽しく入れてますし、何か意識することなくやれてるの、カンフォータブルでやれてるので、非常にやりやすいです。
He said, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm very comfortable here. All the, you know, the coaching staff and everybody here, you know, kind of remember me and actually welcome me here. So I'm very comfortable here and having a lot of fun.
Let's quickly zoom out a little bit to the larger Pacific Rim operation. And I guess this could be a question for both of you. What is the Padres' identity in Japan right now? And what do you feel you can both contribute to help increase that profile?
だからパドレスの今の状況っていうのは、パドレスリムの中でやっぱりどういうプロファイルなんですか、まあ、有名なチームとかそういうことなんですけど、それはどう思いますか、それでどういうふうにそれを貢献できますか、それに対して。
まあ、やっぱりね、日本っていうか、まあ、アジアではね、やっぱりドジャースやヤンキースや、まあ、レッドソックスっていうところがね、やっぱり人気あるので、なんとかパドレス人気も上げたいですし、また、自分がその、まあ、アドバイスを送った選手が活躍してもらって、まあアジアやサンディエゴの、お客さんたちと一緒に、まあ喜べるようになればいいなと思ってます。
He says, you know, in Pacific Rim right now, in Japan and Asia, you know, the popularity of the, say, the Dodgers, Yankees, or the Red Sox is more common, you know, but I'm hoping that, you know, with the Padres that we can bring the popularity to a higher level. And, you know, maybe through the players that I can give advice to, they can become more, you know, a star, a popular, and throughout Asia and San Diego, fans will really be rooting for, you know, so I'm hoping to help in that way.
All right, should be exciting to see how the Padres continue to grow in that area. Have any of the pitchers here tried your windup for you in front of you? Have they tried impersonating that at all?
その、野茂さんのフォームっていうのを真似した投手いますか？
いや、まだいないんですけど、まあやっぱりこう、ちょっとひねって投げたりとか、まあ、する していってこう、タイミングを合わす選手も出てくると思うんでね、まあ、その時は、
いいアドバイスができるように考えてやりたいと思います。
He says, not yet, but you know, I'm hoping that in the future that you'll see guys kind of twisting a little bit more, and then maybe guys like that I can give a good advice to, and hopefully they'll perform real well with it.
All right, great. Thank you guys for taking the time. Thank you, AC. Thank you, Hideo. Arigato, is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Mike.
Had a lot of fun with that interview. I'm learning some Japanese while I'm here, and Trevor Hoffman video bombing. Great character, too. Corey, how important is the increased Asian footprint for the Padres?
Yeah, this isn't by accident that Hideo Nomo's here and Takashi Saito is here as a front office intern, really trying to increase their footprint in the Pacific Rim. You know, they have 3 full-time scouts there. They feel like this is an area where they really want to grow their presence, and there's talent over there.
It's going to be important, and seeing how that continues on through spring training will be very interesting as well. Padres single-game tickets are on sale now. Get tickets to this season's most anticipated games, including matchups against the Dodgers, Giants, Red Sox, and Yankees. My birthday weekend, by the way. Tickets available at Padres.com. We're back with more Padres Social Hour after this.
The Padres are getting ready for the 2016 season, and we're getting you ready for it. Broadcasting from the Peoria Sports Complex in Arizona, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. For the first time in his career, making a Padres Social Hour appearance from the AP, Bernie Wilson. Bernie, how's this rank on your career accomplishments? I would assume pretty high.
Any debut is big. I hope I get the lineup card and a ball.
We'll see what we can do afterward.
You can hear the crack of the wood bat. Maybe a bat. Bat, ball, and lineup card.
We'll see what we can work on
for
you.
And I'll send my shirt to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Seth Blooper will have to get a Hall of Fame.
I'll send my pen to the Hall of Fame.
Perfect. Well, let's see how your performance is first before we talk about any of that.
Sure thing, bro.
Your first spring training in 4 years here for the Padres?
Yes.
Did you miss it?
No.
What is spring training like for you guys? You've been with the AP since 91, covering everything San Diego sports. You've been to spring trainings before. What's it like for you on a daily basis when you're out here in Peoria covering the team?
Well, you know, it's like, if you know, to cover the ball squad, you got to get up early, got to get out here, get coffeeed up. As I found out long ago, players don't generally like to talk in the morning, so you got to, you know, gut out the workouts and try to grab them afterwards. Fred McGriff was legendarily, you know, it wasn't an evil thing. He just didn't like to talk in the morning. So if you wanted to get anything from Crime Dog, you better stick around until after his workout, after his shower, and then he was fine. So, you know, long days just like the fellas. It's just we don't have to stretch, and there's no media fielding practice or batting practice.
What about the length of camp itself? 6 weeks, too long?
Way too long. You know, we AP guys, we're in for 5 or 6 days. Get in, get out, just like the Marines, turn it over to somebody else. And, you know, we don't need spring training. Our nouns and verbs are in pretty good shape right now. But no, overall, seriously, 6 week spring training goes way back when guys came in out of shape. They had off-season jobs. They could easily cut it back to 3.
Your nouns and verbs are good. Any dangling participles you have to work on in the spring?
No, because those are illegal in California. I know we're in Arizona and they're illegal, but when you're back home at Petco Park, those are illegal.
You've got to have some favorite spring training cliches that you've had over the years covering so many guys. Best shape of my life, that kind of thing. Any favorites?
You know, they all are so mind-numbingly bad, they just run together. My favorite is, and it's not necessarily a cliche, it's a way of life, is baseball-related activities. You know,
as opposed to
hockey-related activities. Although, you know, San Diego's a hockey town again, so, you know, the Padres are going to have to up their game as far as their related activities.
Well, let's talk about those related activities to baseball.
Sure.
You've been here. You've checked out the team for a couple of days. Early impressions of Andy Green as a first-year manager?
Good guy. I mean, we will work him hard, and I think he's going to be terrific. He even gives injury updates. And for those of us who cover some of the other ball squads in town, that's welcome. And he doesn't speak in too many cliches. That's also very welcome compared to some of the other ball coaches we cover. So, you know, so far, so good for the rookie skipper.
What do you see difference-wise from his camps early than some previous ones you've covered and the way he runs it?
I like the music. You know, I don't know if that was his idea or if it was an organizational decision. But the speakers, the music, the playlists are all solid.
Any particular songs you'd like to hear more just to make your day go a little bit
better? I'd like
better?
To hear a little more Stones, Zeppelin, Skynyrd, and some. And I'm trying to get A.J. Preller to experience
the
Sex
Clash,
Pistols.
Right? You're
and
trying to get him a little bit.
Starting with the Sex Pistols and then going on to the Clash.
All right.
I haven't heard his scouting report yet, but I'd like to hear a little bit of that. So we'll see if they can get into the rotation.
Speaking of rotation and the actual players in the team, a squad that maybe a lot of people are not prognosticating many great things for this season, but they have some potential to surprise some people if certain things break right. Do you see any potential X factors that if they can perform to a certain level can make this team a lot better than people may expect?
Well, the starting three have to, you know, the big horses, as they've been referred to, Ross, Cashner, and Shields, they each are going to have to win their personal triple crown in order to keep this team in it. Because, you know, Zach Greinke the other day let it slip that he was looking forward to a three-team competition. And then he sort of said, well, he didn't mean to slight the other two teams, meaning the Padres and the Rockies, who most everybody think are going to be competing for fourth place. So, you know, the big three horses have to gallop hard. Guys have to stay healthy. I mean, baseball players do get hurt. I don't think people realize the rigor that it takes on their bodies. But Will Myers has to stay healthy. Kemp has to stay healthy. Got to swing the timber and play consistent.
Let's talk some of the quirkier national stories. I want to get your opinion on some of them. The Marlins banning facial hair. Do you like that move or not?
Not necessarily. I mean, I know
so this
that
is, this is a camp with a lot of facial hair.
Right. Well, imagine this ball squad without facial hair. You know, Cashner wouldn't be the same. Derek Norris. You know, Norris last year at one point had the hairdo and the beard that he could have starred in that Vikings series on, I think it's History Channel.
Yep,
I mean,
right.
you look fierce in a beard. I mean, facial hair is important, so, you know, maybe the Marlins are going to lose 100 games just because of that.
What about, you touched on it earlier, guys used to come to spring training not in shape to get into shape. Have you seen the pictures of Pablo Sandoval up in Boston?
Yes, he has a large stomach.
Do you think he's the kind of guy that could use the 6 weeks still?
Well, I think it's embarrassing that a guy like that comes in with, you know, looking like a tub of lard. I mean, it's with the money these guys make, a lot of them have personal trainers in the off season, they stay in shape. A lot of them have gyms at their house, things like that, weight rooms. And he clearly has not bellied up to the salad bar in quite
well
a
done.
Long time.
I like that.
So the salad bar is important. Some guys, you know, they like the regular bar. So, but that's pretty embarrassing for a big league ball player.
A couple of guys coming in with some sweet rides across Major League Baseball. Did you see Yoenis Cespedes's new ride after signing that contract with the Mets?
You showed me the picture, and what that tells you is he makes way too much money.
You don't think you can see yourself behind the wheel of one of those?
I'm a Ford F-150 guy.
And last thing I wanted to get your opinion on, the Pirates announced earlier this spring training they're bringing back those 1979, the World Series jerseys for certain home games. The Padres are doing a brown look. Do you like the throwback look? Do you like the uniforms that some of these guys are dipping into their heritage for?
I like one uniform.
Which is?
No, I just like teams that have one uniform. Okay. Yankees, Dodgers, Cardinals. And it's not necessarily the uniform, it's the guy in the uniform. So that's, I think, what this ball squad needs to pay attention. Not necessarily the five jerseys, it's the guys who are wearing them. And I didn't like the Pirates hats way back then.
Oh, not controversial opinion alert.
Oh, horrible controversial opinion alert. So.
Anything with time becomes nostalgic and becomes a positive thing.
Exactly.
All right, well.
Let me ask you a question, young man. Have you tried
I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, I know, but I'm here to steer from the back of the bus. Have you tried out the Moon Saloon?
Not yet, to your extent, so I'll have to give
that
your recommendation.
Okay, that is the key baseball-related activity for non-uniform personnel at spring training.
Blooper, add that to the list of baseball-related activities.
Are you old enough to drink?
Training. I am.
Okay.
I'll show you my ID afterward.
Okay.
Bernie Wilson, thank you for joining us.
Anytime,
enjoy
bro.
The rest of spring training. Bernie Wilson, he's a character.
To say the least. We could have our own show.
Well, we'll save that for next season, maybe. He asked me about some local watering holes. You're a bit of a beer snob, is the scientific term.
Yeah.
What's the situation like? What's the beer universe like here in Peoria?
Yeah, well, yeah, technically, like, Peoria is kind of slow. The craft beer scene's kind of catching on here, but, like, there's a couple spots. Oso has, OHSO has three locations in the valley. I sound like a commercial here, basically. Three locations to serve you. And there's a place near downtown called Angel's Trumpet. Both have real diverse beer lists and good food.
All right. That is the official recommendation here from Corey Brock, beer snob to the stars. Folks, Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th.
Baseball is almost back, but Padres Social Hour returns right now, coming to you from the Peoria Sports Complex and Padres Spring Training.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Corey, a lot of the new faces here in camp are some of the Rule 5 guys the Padres picked up in the offseason. Early thoughts on them?
Yeah, there's four of them, and I don't know if they'll all stick. They probably won't, but yeah, Blake Smith, Josh Martin, pitchers, Luis Perdomo, the young kid from the Cardinals. I think he's got a dynamic arm. But I tell you what, Mike, the guy I'm really interested in seeing is Jabari Blash. I think there's some big-time power there. A lot of strikeouts, but a really intriguing guy as we move forward in the spring. I'm going to keep my eye on him.
Wouldn't you know, we talked to Jabari, and I asked him about all that stuff that Corey mentioned, and also what's it like being on this side of the Peoria Sports Complex after he spent a few years over, we can see it from our set, on the Mariners side of town. Here's what Jabari had to say.
Well, for me, it's been amazing because I'm with a different club now, but you know, this has been my home for like 5 years, so all my friends are here. I'm real familiar with the area, and you know, I think it's a blessing that you know I was able to be picked up with the Padres.
It's a little bit different for you this year with the Padres because you're a Rule 5 guy now, so they have some more skin in the game. Does that change your mindset going into a spring training this year than it has in previous years?
To be honest, not really. For me, it's, you know, I feel once I come into camp and do my job as best as I can and, you know, continue to work, you know, things will happen the way they're supposed to. So, you know, it's the same game, you know, different team, but I think it's the same game.
You had a breakout year last year, 32 home runs across two levels. What was it that clicked that you're trying to take into this year? What are the good things you're trying to bring from last year to this year?
For me, I try to keep things simple. You know, I'm a big guy that, you know, at times, the ball can fly out. And, you know, the simpler I keep the game, you know, I focus on just putting the ball in play, you know, being a good teammate and having good at-bats and being a tough out. And, you know, things transpired to where, you know, at one point I couldn't swing and miss. So, you know,
It was a fun run. What are some goals this year, I guess, then? Because besides just trying to keep the reps and the consistency, is it win a starting job? Is it make the team? What are you coming here trying to do?
I'm coming here trying to be a tough out, you know, and that's what it comes down to, you know. I have a great opportunity in front of me, and I think I'm prepared. So for me, it's just coming into camp and being a tough out and helping the guys win.
Are you aware of how much the fan base loves you already and you haven't even played in the game yet? They see this guy, 6'5", all this power, can play the outfield. And what's your thoughts to the fans in terms of people that are hoping for a lot of big things from you this year?
Well, the fans is what make the game interesting. You know, it's good to have fans behind you, especially when you're at the plate. And I'm just looking forward to making them happy in 2016.
All right. Well, let's talk about you a little bit because these people are rooting for you. They're cheering you on. Virgin Islands growing up, not a big baseball culture, not a big baseball island. How'd you get into the game, and how did that get you here from there?
Well, I actually played a lot when I was younger in the Little League, but the island is 32 square miles. You know, I think the population right now is 50,000 people. So at some point, you know, when kids get older, their interest goes elsewhere, and it's real harder to make teams and for guys to play, you know, every day like you do here in the States. So it was tough, and I think I got away from the game in the middle school. And this guy, Darren Canton, he came back from New York, and he saw how much the game stopped. And because he played a lot when he was older, and, you know, he wanted to build the game back up, so he did a camp. And a couple of my friends went to the camp one day and convinced me to go one time. And, you know, he convinced me to come back, and, you know, I started to enjoy playing, and I got some college interest, and that's where, you know, everything changed.
You get to go back in the off season to the Virgin Islands. Is that something that you try and do, is pass on that baseball love now, or are you still focused so much on getting your career on track?
Well, for me right now, I know the opportunity that I have, and I know what could happen in the next few years. So right now for me, I want to get to where I need to be, to where I can help, you know, the Virgin Islands. And at some point I'll be able to give back and, you know, make some dreams come true. But for right now, I think it's some me time for right now.
There's a guy walking around here. He's not your hitting coach, but Mark McGwire, he knew a little bit about power hitting. You've been able to pick his brain at all yet?
I mean, he was the home run king. You know, this is someone that nobody wanted to pitch to, and he still hit as many home runs as he did. And just talking about baseball knowledge, it was back in San Diego, we had a mini camp. The first time we met, And he said something. He said, it's not about how good you are. He's like, it's about how good you can be. And that was just day one. So I'm just excited of picking his brain and, you know, helping him transform me, hopefully, to somewhere close to the hitter he was. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, it's going to be a good challenge.
How are the guys? How's the new clubhouse getting to meet a lot of new faces after you've been in Mariners camp for a lot of years?
Well, right now it's a little overwhelming. It seems like it's 100 guys in there. But, you know, eventually, you know, you'll meet everyone and get familiar with everyone. So, you know, over time it'll, you know, be a little better.
The season is just around the corner. But first, the team comes together in spring training. Broadcasting live from Peoria, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, our final guest of our first show of the 2016 season, team president and CEO Mike D. Welcome to Peoria.
Hey, welcome to you. Welcome to the Padres.
Thanks.
Great to be with you.
Ah, it's been great so far. You're in town. You came down with Peter Seidler, a bunch of the other front office execs. What's the purpose for you, the biggest takeaway, the biggest positive of coming down and checking things out and seeing the players and the staff at this point in the spring training?
Well, the first day of spring training with the full squad here is always an important day, and I think it's really important that the players see that there's solidarity amongst ownership, amongst the front office. And certainly the confidence that we have in AJ and his staff, but in this year with a new manager, first-year manager, first-time manager, for them to see the confidence we have in Andy Green and what he's building here, I think is extremely important. So in addition to being a lot of fun, that's the purpose of our presence here.
Obviously, you guys liked Andy enough to hire him, but now that you've got some early returns on his work with the players and with the staff, actually getting the uniform on, what are some of the early impressions that you've taken away from that?
Extraordinary. We knew we had a special guy, a guy who's going to be a leader, and he's a unique kind of leader because he empowers, I think, the clubhouse, the players on the roster, but also the entire organization to step up, take responsibility, be accountable for your own actions. He wants to have a lot of things come from the bottom up. He'll provide a lot of leadership from the top down as well, for sure. But I think it's a great culture he's building, one that's going to be focused on improvement every day, and one that I think guys are going to see a transparent form of communication that maybe they haven't seen here for a number of years.
When you addressed the media earlier in camp, the phrase I took away from that was, we're not rebuilding, we're building. And I think the easy thing for sports fans to do is think it's one or the other, either all chips middle of the table, championship or bust, or a complete teardown. There's a lot of gray area in between. How do you see the Padres evolving this season and the ones coming up?
Well, I think you just said it well, building. I mean, we're going to compete every year. Don't tell the guys in this clubhouse that we're playing right now for 2018 or 2021 or any time after that. This is about 2016. We've got a core group of guys that we think can enable us to compete in a very competitive division. And, you know, we're going to get after it this year. And that's I think, you know, last year's last year. It's over. 74-88. It was disappointing, but this is, you know, the scoreboard's, you know, wiped clean, and we're starting today.
What do you think would qualify as a successful season in your eyes?
You know, to me, we always have the goal of winning a championship. So, you know, if you're not in a parade in October, in some sense, you've disappointed. I know the expectations are high. The bar that Andy has set here is high. Early on, I think it's just about making sure that this group comes together as a unit, and that he's able to instill, along with his coaching staff, some new, some holdovers, the type of culture and type of improvement, learning environment that I know he wants to bring to the table.
I'm a big movie buff, big movie fan.
Okay.
A lot of times in movies, you see the first movie is, let's gather up the gang, let's get all the pieces in place. Then it's the second one where things really start moving, and that's where the excitement comes and the results come.
Yep.
Do you feel now with Andy Green as that last member of the group, the last piece of the puzzle, that now is kind of that next shift in gears for the organization?
We certainly think so, and you know what we've seen so far, and especially this morning and the way that he addressed the team, I think if you talk to everybody in that clubhouse, they'll tell you the same thing. This is not going to be business as usual. There's going to be a chance to do things in a different way, a better way. As Andy said, he's been preparing his whole life for this moment, for this day, and I know he's ready.
How about some of the non-baseball stuff, the renovations at Petco? How's everything else going this offseason for the Padres?
On track and on budget. You know, we're spending a lot of money, not just in the baseball side of the organization, but on Petco Park yet again, and great new areas this year. And, of course, the All-Star Game being the crown jewel of the non-Padres activities during the 2016 season. So working closely with baseball, we'll be ready for the eyes of the baseball world come July.
It's going to be exciting, and we're hoping that we can talk to you again before then to get an update on how all those preparations are going.
Happy to join you anytime. Great again, and welcome to San Diego.
Thank you. Well, thanks again to Mike D, also to Corey Brock for joining us today, and all of our guests, Tyson Ross, Hideo Nomo, Jabari Blash, and even Bernie Wilson. We'll be back on March 4th with our next episode that's going to be before the defending World Series champion Royals come to the Peoria Sports Complex to take on the Padres. Thanks so much for watching, and we will see you next time.